Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 23 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 24 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 23 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 22 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 21 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 22 degrees.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Charlie Delta Kilo, monitoring.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Clear. 21 degrees. Good morning. 08 hundred hours. Sunny. 20 degrees. Good morning. 09 hundred hours. Sunny. 24 degrees.
NFLK signal check. This is NFLK signal check in Lansing.
Radio station, for signal check. This is KDA, the IWS, Kurt and Fenton. A little bit on the scratchy side from what I'm hearing in Fenton, but doing good.
Kurt, thank you for coming back. I'm here with a fellow ham and just checking out this this repeater now. How many repeater towers is this linked to? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I'm thinking 5 FET repeaters.
Good morning. 1000 hours.
Call is November 8th, Fox, Lima, Kilo, and KKH is Lansing.
Okay, very good. I'm going into the repeater at the moment. Repeater, which is only about a mile as the crow flies. SM, KDA-IWS.
There you go, Chris. Now you're on
VHF, Yeah, my radio was in scan mode and it happened to stop on the Lapeer repeater and couldn't remember what number the Fenton repeater was on my scan channels, so I have to set that up on a home button, but hey, I do have a question. There's a 70-centimeter, I believe, repeater up on Denton Hill. Is that correct in Fenton?
There's two. One's DMR and the other is analog. So yeah, 443.200 is up there on analog, 151.4, and then
I forget
what DMR
Fender
repeater's frequency is, but that's up there too.
Yeah, okay. I've got a DMR I have a D star. D star, is that, that's different than DMR, correct?
Correct, they're different.
Yeah, okay. All right, I had programmed it in on my radio, but it doesn't. The DMR does not do me any good, so I put a skip on it. And I reprogrammed my radio for an Arizona trip. I'm heading out on Tuesday, so all my normal channels have changed. So. I had trouble getting back to the Fenton repeater, but nonetheless, you have a good day. I'm going to get back in. My grandson's on spring break. He's in the house, so I'm going to head back in. But you have a good day. Good talking with you. KD8-IWS, Fenton clear.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here working. The reason why, if he's in Fenton, he should be noisy. So I looked, and I'm like, well, he's on the pier, that's why. So, sorry.
Hey, Fred, can you talk to me over on 800 for a minute?
Yeah, sitting right here, so I'm on one right now.
Give me a when you get a sec. Any VGS?
WFSS.
KDA-ZKN mobile. John, this is KEA, ZKN, mobile from Grand Rapids, and monitoring.
KBA to all of you. Did you say you're in Grand Rapids?
Negative. I'm from Grand Rapids, working over here this side of the state. Over.
That looks like a Christmas tree. I thought they'd put another repeater link in the system. I about fell over. What repeater are you going into?
147, I think it was 780, or hang on. 147-280 is what I'm going through right now.
Oh yeah, you're close to Plimpton. Wait, that's not Lansing, is it? I think you're over towards Flint.
All right, roger that. Hey, I'm in Potterville right now, headed to Hudson now. Where are you located? Where are you out of? What repeater are you using?
Well, they're calling it something else now, but it's over towards Essexville, kind of in between Essexville and Akron, up in the Thumb. Everybody used to call it Bay City. It was on the oldies 96 tower. It's just a monster over here. And now that they've got multiple receive sites with a boater set up on it, it's even meaner than it used to be. It's got one heck of a footprint for sure. But I'm in Vassar right now. I'm getting into the thing with I can't call it a rubber duck. It's one of those quarter on two and 5/8 on 440 antennas, a long duck for the HG. I haven't got anything set up at this new location yet.
All right, roger that. Yeah, I got one of them too. Currently on just a monoband 2-meter antenna. And I have I got a few monobands up there. And I run some HF on the truck too. I got an Icon 7000 sitting next to me. It's in a Polta case, but pretty much lives in my work truck. I got an 11 meter antenna up there that tunes pretty much 10 through 17. And then I got a 20 meter antenna, I got a 6 meter up there. And that pretty much covers everything. I can tune 40, but it's a stretch.
Well, you know what a tuner is. It's there to fool the radio. So what are you using for 20 in what are you using, fire sticks?
Let's see here. 20 meter is a ham stick. NMO mount. The 11 meter is its own little beast. That thing actually works quite well. Then I got the 6 meter is a shark antenna, I think it was.
Oh yeah, I'm suspecting you're some kind of contract worth driving around like that. Yeah, it's the repeater, I guess, is in Guilford. And it's spelled like Isleford. I think it has a U up front. I used to live up there. I had several properties up there around the corner from it, I'd say 6 miles away from the repeater site. And I lived up there for a dozen years, and I only went fishing in the cuts probably twice because I was so busy trying to make a fortune, and then my health took it all. And now I'm back to being relatively healthy again. I will be here in a couple months, but I only own one place now, and it's in Columbiaville, but right now I'm at the girlfriend's place up in Vassar, so between us we got two of them paid off, and it's not too bad considering that we're over halfway to 100 years old. What type of work do you do? What type of... obviously, it's your own vehicle. You got a cookie truck or a large pickup or something?
Well, Carl, glad you're back on track, getting on the road to recovery there. I do commercial heating and cooling, and all the hot side stuff too, the stuff I don't like to touch, but, you know, I kind of took on this to, to be able to obtain one of the licenses that you have to kind of work at a company for 3 years to obtain. But, it's been like 10 years now. I work for someone else. And it's a work, express van. And so, just a bunch of mag mounts up there, a bunch of coax, got 5 different coax running through the door. but they don't care. I get my stuff done, you know?
Like a high cube or a sprinter. Yeah, you know, I thought about getting one of them little four popper ones, front wheel drive outfits, because, you know, you can work out of them, and if you have to, you can sleep in the dang thing, but I used to want a Grumman, like one of those, what, a P-30 or whatever they are. I wanted one of those, and I was going to set that thing up and live on the road, but everything's so expensive in Michigan, you know, plates and insurance and everything. I figured I'd have to get a fake address, like a Vegas corporation or something in Ohio or Indiana or Illinois or something, to afford the insurance from another state, because our insurance here is astronomical. Once Granholm got us pooled in with California after she was the DA out here, our insurance rates like quadrupled overnight.
I think, what is it, Florida? I know Florida doesn't have any income tax out there. That might be a good one to look into. But, yeah, hopefully things come around and we start striving again. But, yeah, I was thinking about doing the same thing with the van. You know, I got a pickup truck at the house. And I was thinking about getting a cab for it. And then you could do a little mattress in there, you know, do some camping and still pull the boat. But the van thing, I always thought that'd be fun to build one, put a little bunk in there or whatever, you know, make a little sink area. I think that'd be fun. I've contemplated doing that still yet to this day.
Yeah, man, the Grummans are, you know, they made airplanes and everything else, and that aluminum body always made sense. And the frames are like a 1 ton or ton and a half frame, so it'd take them forever to rot out. And if you sprayed your used motor oil up and down that frame or got it on a hoist and sandblasted it and just coated it with something real nasty like undercoating, like the old school undercoating, you'd probably have that thing. You'd get sick of looking at it because it'll last you the rest of your life. You just have to worry about the next drive train. KB8OLE.
Yeah, roger that. Right now, I got 21 Trail Boss. I bought that new. It's got that rubber coating on the frame. I don't know if it's a new thing or if they've been doing that, but, I mean, it was still tacky when I picked it up. Like, you can touch it, it has tack to it. But it sits there most of the time. I do all my errands in my work truck. You know, I'm doing probably 95% of what I do. The rest is fishing and hunting. You know, that's pretty much all I use the truck for camping. But it's got that rubberized coating, and in some areas it is kind of coming off. You can see a little bit of surface rust, so I don't know. It's sitting too long, I think.
Exactly. Well, the key to that is to, you know, spray the salt off before you park it and keep it somewhere dry, and dry and preferably heated. But, you know, we can't baby the pickup trucks always. You know, my mind changed on a lot of that stuff when I realized that, hey, the P-30 also has juice brakes. But if you redid all your lines and went with stainless lines, and you're always going to have to replace the rubber ones, but switching over to a silicone instead of alcohol-based brake and you'll have less component issues. And then when I reassemble everything with the nuclear grade on NICs. Hey, do you work on heat pumps too and boilers as well? Are you certified for boilers?
I used to be manufacturing rubs for Bell & Gossett, which is real big in the hydronics, and took care of a lot of the warranty stuff too, but sized up equipment, this and that, whatever. So fairly well with boilers, but we dealt with a lot of the components and controls and pretty much every aspect. That was all commercial, industrial, like cooling towers too, and stuff like that, hospitals, schools, you name it.
Yeah, them cooling towers are kind of interesting stuff. The water is a great, people think it's like a great heat storage, but it's not. It's a great heat mover. When you do evaporative stuff like that, it'll dump that heat that way too. The phase change, you can move a lot of energy with it too, but it's not a great heat storage. But man, I'll tell you what, don't take much of that crap and it don't have to flow very fast to move an awful lot of heat.
Oh yeah, no kidding. And it can be a decent heat source if you're pulling it from, some loops in the ground, geothermal type stuff, but I don't know. I remember in school I wrote a paper on geothermal, and I don't know, I think if someone else installs it and then you move into the property, you're sitting pretty good.
Right, I was going to ask you about phase change, but the loops, if you got it flowing well, that's a different ballgame. I mean, that stuff can probably be up to 800-900% efficient over electric, which is 100% efficient, but now the rates are high. So, it can be great if you've got running water like that for cooling, too. I was wondering about phase change because they're using propane in a lot of stuff. I was wondering about doing phase change in something like that. If you could use flat plate heat exchangers and shrink the system down and put it outside in a small utility building.
Well, I'm sure you could pretty much do anything you put your mind to. But explain that one more time, what you wanted to do. You said phase change?
Yeah, instead of Freon, where you got the liquid to vapor, a lot of refrigerators, they're even putting the propane as the phase change instead of Freon, or those type of liquid gas phase change materials. But I was wondering, because I would put that whole thing outside and then do a tank, like in the crawl, not crawl, but the basement, and then do the exchange out there, and then tie it into the heat storage type system. Just one of those ideas I had rattling around in my empty skull,
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're, I know two manufacturers, they're strictly only doing the propane, like R290. There's a handful of different types of gas. I mean, they've been using that stuff in motorhomes and stuff like that for a long time, but to convert, that's going to be a bigger deal, but because the propane R290, I think they're like 601A or something like that too, but we use a lot of R290 and flammable. Fun to work with, but it's all high pressure, low volumes. I mean, a lot of these smaller commercial reach-in coolers, they only hold about, if you picture the size of a pen in your hand, only about that much gas in there, it's just a couple ounces, so it's just high pressure, low volume type setup. And they work all right. I'm not a huge fan. I don't think they're all that efficient compared to other gases.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, it'd be cheap and easy to refill, and they're never going to outlaw propane. At least I don't think they will. It's a great fuel. And, but it'd be, I just don't know what pumps they make compatible. I was talking about designing your own system and having flat plate heat exchangers. So the whole size of the unit goes way down, and then just use water as the exchange media on both of the flat plate exchangers.
Yeah, you do something like that, add some glycol to the system, and you're good to go. Whether it's, you know, winter time and it's not pumping, you got a failure, or glycol, propylene glycol, or they got a few different types. But glycol is also really tough on seals, so you got to get the expensive seal kits, swap them out, because the regular carbon seals are just, you know, they get your water and, you know, maybe some particulate, you know, but not a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Absolutely. But, yeah, I need to get with somebody that's decent, better than me at engineering because, I mean, I can, man, it just takes me so long to move them numbers around and my head wants to explode. And after about 4 or 5 p.m., my brain's getting hardened because I'm getting older, so it's almost impossible. But I was interested in that stuff a lot more when I was younger, but I would look at doing a heat storage and then maybe a loop for the cooling loop under the ground in a closed loop underneath the my yard or garden or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I still got projects of my own, and here I am. I do a lot of this work, and I'll do my own stuff. Although I did have, 2 years ago, my inducer motor locked up on me. I hit it with some WD-40, so I got a new one ordered. Got the new one ordered, and I put it off. You know, normally it's just like, you know, I'll take it, replace it, call it a day, don't have to worry about it. But, I wanted to see how long it would go, kind of. That's my excuse, anyways. It's been 2 years, I think, still running. That WD just freed her up, and she's working all right. So I'm going to see if I can get every little dime out of there.
Oh, yeah, that's the main thing, what oil will do. You say that every time I oil, like, a door mechanism or a lock mechanism or something, then blow graphite in it. And synthetics really are what shocks me. When I found out about Krytox and stuff, some of the hostile environments I put crap through, it's just, you know, they had to invent something in those jets because they put them up there and, you know, all that oil vaporizes when there's not enough pressure to hold it in. Maybe they don't always.
Yeah, no kidding there. You'll say most of that stuff too, but. It does help you out when you're in, you know, when you're what's the word I'm looking for, in a pinch. Get some good stuff. I got some similar stuff on the truck here, and then some other penetrating oils, obviously. But man, there was one I can't think, LPS or something like that. A really good aerosol spray. Better than. Majority, I'd say, if I can't help you, I think it was, I'd have to Google it.
Probably one of those industrial oils.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I know we had a branch over in Detroit, and they come across it, and they're like, wow, this stuff's amazing. So we ordered up a case, and yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I'd have to look that up, though. But, so, let's see here, I must be on the Flint. I wish I knew CW because it's probably telling us exactly where that repeater is.
Oh, yeah, where did you say you're headed out? You're headed up towards Bay City, Saginaw area?
Yeah, I'm headed over to Hudson. McDonald's, the only McDonald's over there in Hudson, Michigan, that says, let me zoom out here. I'll be driving through Jackson and straight south of Jackson.
Yeah, it's nice to have the whole list of frequencies either programmed in or like a little key card with you or something to throw up on your dash.
Yeah, this has got to be a newer frequency for me to store in this radio. I've had a bunch already programmed in there, you know, and I can scan. And sure, I'm going to get out of reach of the ones in town for me, and then when I get to other areas, you know, I don't have any banks in here. It'd be nice to have some banks. I got an FTM-400 in my personal truck. I'd like to get another one of those. I believe you could do banks on that. Even though that one's not set up, I just kind of muted everything else and just have the core of my group area, because that one's mostly just locally driven. But, hey, I'm in the market looking for FTM, another FTM 400, even a 3 or 5, this price, right? But I do like those gauges.
Yeah, I got to start checking out the digital modes on UHF. All these kids are leaving me in the dust. And I say kid, I mean people under 40.
Yeah, actually, I got into digital, too. I got FT5DR. I use that for, like, on plane rides, out of, you know, easy to pack. And then I got, I made a couple Raspberry Pis, some 3D Plus boards with a single hat on it for the radio, digital voice, and then tried a bunch of different OS. Loaded that up, got that, finally found one that works well, because I had a touchscreen. So my port of care right here has got my HF rig in it. It's in like a Pelican case, and then I got the top lid. It's actually on my QRZ page, you can see it in there. It's like the last picture on the bottom, but, so I got a four, and then I got the antenna and the hat, and then underneath that I got a little 5-inch touchscreen, so I can have it. I got a script written up for it to automatically load up dashboard so I can see all the call signs there. It's kind of nifty.
Yeah, I'd like to set up a Raspberry Pi to run one of my Hermes Live 2 rigs, because it's a drag having a whole computer hooked to it. And if I could get something touchscreen, maybe with a add-on little small keyboard or something that drew less power than a laptop or a computer, and more portable, then I think I'd be a lot better off. I wouldn't mind doing them all that way, actually, but I have not messed with a Pi enough to compile that stuff together enough where I would think I would be proficient enough to do it and not just risk blowing the money on it. But I'll tell you, the Hermes Lite is a nice little SDR rig.
Yeah, you can, you're not really going to hurt anything. I mean, if you bought it and you try it, I got the 3D Plus. It's got a little more power. And, I mean, if you mess it up, you can always wipe it clean and flash it and put new OS on there, you know, whatever operating system you want. There's somebody to choose from. I was experimenting with it. And the touchscreen, all it is, I wrote a script for it to just show me the dashboard where I can see my temperature on the PC, and I can see all the call signs, how long they're talking, the duration, and all that good stuff. But I don't think it uses much power. If you add the screen, it's a little more. But I got a 20 amp hour LiPo battery in that kit. I mean, I could run all day, have that thing powered up, and seeing as much as I want while the workday, anyways. You know, 5 hour drive time average, that's it. But, yeah, it's fun, it works. And then, so I got a couple of them, one here, and then I got one at the base station that I use for around the house.
Right, yeah, I was doing digital voice on, I don't remember what band, I think it was 20, I was running it back when I first got introduced to, like, Easy Pal for, pictures, which is 100% copy digital picture mode, slow scan TV. And then I got turned on to a digital voice mode, and I may or may not have got a cease and desist from the Department of Defense for that stunt, but I found out that it was not open source. The MELP codec was not open source, but man, that was a really nice digital voice.
You said
I'm 20? Yeah, yep, it was 14.23, Let's see, 230 is analog TV, 233 is digital TV, and 236 was digital voice. And now you can't get nothing in edgewise. You put a digital signal on, even on 230, if you try doing slow scan anymore, somebody just starts talking on top of you. And 233, well, you try Easy Pal, and the guy that wrote that's dead, so there's really nothing out there. And then digital TV on 236, 233 and 236 are about useless because there's guys get on there and just antagonistic, you know.
All right, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I was going to say, too, with the Raspberry Pi, I just use my iPhone as a hotspot when I'm mobile. And there's some quirks. You definitely got to change, like, I turn 5G off, so I'm running LTE to keep it stable, so I'm going to switch between towers while I'm talking just so they can get that gargle, you know, and not complete transmission and you drop out, this and that. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things you got to put on there and maximize compatibility. But if you're stationary and this and that, perfect, it works fine. At the house on Wi-Fi, you know, it kicks butt. That thing's a champ. I could be out there running 0.3 watts at the fire out back and hit my digi repeater just fine. And I even put a beam on there once just for fun and went hunting, and I was still able to hit it. I angled it right to where I was hunting. And that was pretty fun being out there in HD. Like KEA, KN Mobile.
Right, right, KB8OE. Yeah, I need to do that. But the problem, see, I'm not a complete purist, but I always, in my head, because I've went without cell phones before, and the area I live is around a river basin, we lose signal, and then we've had times where all telecom dropped, and we've had times we lost the internet. I'd like to keep the HF stuff going, and VHF, UHF, multi-modes are something I really need to get back into, focus on. I've got enough equipment to do it, and there's a lot of guys locally that said they would do it, and I would like to do some digital modes on single sideband on the bottom of the 2-meter band as well on 440, but you know, getting everybody together and getting and actually achieving those things that you want to do as opposed to what you have to do, you know, the fun stuff has to be second place.
But that's fun, too. Yeah, we do a lot of single sideband on 2-meter. We'll experiment a little bit here and there with 440. But we do a lot of 6-meter, too, at the QTAs. I got a vertical. We all run verticals because one guy is in an apartment. And so we just kind of went his polarity there. One of the other guys, he has a dual beam. He can run it polarized, you know, any direction, vertical, horizontal. And that thing has got a boom on that. I can't remember how many elements it was, but yeah, that thing works well. But, I got in the radio last summer, probably about a little over a year ago, I guess. I don't know, November of whatever. Because we were camping up in the UP, we always do trips up there, and now my daughter's at an age where she wants to venture off that bike, you know, and cell phones don't work. Next to the other kids, they had walkie-talkies. I'm like, brilliant. Well, guess what? I went down the rabbit hole, and now I got a whole stack of radios, a bunch of handhelds, you name it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to set up a GMRS repeater in the UP, because there aren't any.
We got to the bridge last year. We didn't actually make it over the bridge. That was the first time in a while I did not go over that bridge. And now I'm a game operator, you know, so it would have been fun up further north there to see what's going on. I know I looked at the repeater book, and there's some stuff up there. I got my dimmer's license, too. I do every morning I got people I talk to, you know, that type of deal. And sound, so I get, you know, far away. And, but yeah, it's all been fun. So I enjoy it all. But yeah, I'm
Hey, you're losing the system. I don't know if there's another repeater close to the town you're in that's in this link, but there's a ton of them on here. I don't have the list in front of me, but you're losing the system. Talking to you. It's interesting to hear people that are into other stuff that I'm interested in but not smart enough to do. This is KV8OOE.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Sunny. 45 degrees.
Okay. 8FLK Mobile. This is November 8, Fox, Lima, Kilo, and Lansing Mobile in this one. FLK clear.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours, partly sunny, 50 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Sunny. 53 degrees.
KF8, VFO. KF8, VFO.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 56 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 53 degrees.
VFO, monitoring.
KF8, VLL,
monitoring.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 54 degrees. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly cloudy. 53 degrees. Good evening. 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 54 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours. Partly sunny. 51 degrees. Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 48 degrees.
KFAAYL monitoring. KFAAYL monitoring.
Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 46 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Partly cloudy. 45 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 41 degrees.